2 Corinthians 4:3. This is going to be a little different message. It's going to be topical, so it's not. We're going to go with this one verse, and we're going to theme on it, and we're going to talk a lot about. I think some wonderful things, some things that have been sung about this morning. For that song when the choir was singing, I had to write it down. Through purging, what fruit will I bear? Whew. Praise the Lord for that. The hardness that we endure, and the suffering that we endure in Christ's stead, in His name, and for His glory, the things that we suffer, the fruit that's born from that, the folks that get saved, and kids coming to church, and those things. It's just a wonderful thing to know that through His cross and through His giving, that boy, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I got something here I want to show you real quickly. It's a table that's been in my family for many, many, many years, and I'm trying to be careful with it because it's old. And I asked my sister how long we've had this thing, and she can't remember. She's 60, so it's probably been in our house since I remember. It's always been there, and it was in my mother's house. And if I could just kind of lean it up a little bit here, this is the top of it, and it's just a beautiful table. I mean, it's sturdy and strong. It's got some good looks to it. It's well made. I don't know how they do this when they make a band like that. I don't know how they make that round like that. That's 3/4-inch wood, and I don't know how. But it's just if you can just see it, it's just a beautiful table. And I wanted to bring that use as an object this morning in this message. And if I could show brother John the underside of this table, which I gave a picture that I'd like to show you. And while you're looking for that, it's a beautiful table. It's sturdy. It's a strong table. It's supportive. You put things on it. You carry things on it. Here we go. That's the underside of it. And if you're looking at this, you're looking at a beautiful table. But when you look at that, you go, wow, what in the world is going on under that thing? It's pretty marred up. It's got a lot of problems. And you kind of wonder what in the world's happened there. And I'm going to get to that a little later. But if we can look at this picture, this table, as a picture of His church, or a picture of us even, and we're going to look at this in two ways. But it's a wonderful thing to look at on the outside. There's a lot of echo up here, brothers. Is this still on?
Okay.
And if you look, it's beautiful and it's nice. But if you look underneath it, which you can't see, it's pretty bad shape. And if we look at that, we can see these are the hidden things that I kind of want to relate that to this message. Are the scars that we have of ourselves? But I want to bring us into a place where it's Jesus' scars, the scars in His hands, and the suffering that He took for us. I kind of wonder if we're like this table. We're aesthetic and we're nice and we're good on the outside, but underneath we got some problems. Underneath we got some problems. We got some damage. We got some things happening there. And this is really a two-part message, and it's going to kind of work in the sense of for the church bearing the scars of Christ, showing Him in our life, and I mean showing Him in our life. And then there's the other side of that the stain of sin, and the one without Christ, His scars. So the title of the message is, do we bear the scars? Do we bear the scars? Let's all stand in reverence and reading with the Word of God, and we'll read 2 Corinthians 4:3, and then we'll pray. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Father, how much we love and thank You for this morning. Already, Lord, it's just been a wonderful blessing. Father, in this service already, the singing already, and Lord, just the fellowship, Lord God, has been wonderful. And Father, I'm asking You, Lord, You know my condition. Father, You know where I'm at. You know everything about me. Father, from the sole of my foot to the crown of my head, Father, You know it all. So Father, I'm praying now. You know how weak I am here. And Father God, I pray now that You would encourage me, Lord God, and strengthen me to speak Your word and to speak this message. Father, it's a wonderful message that You've given. And Father, but the speaker now needs to get it out of his mouth and get it to Your people. So Father, I pray, Lord God, that You help me and guide and direct us. Father, help us in this service throughout from here to the end. And Father, that You would just bless, watch over our pastors, Lord, Pastor Dave and Pastor James. Lord, bless those two men and their families. Watch over Miss Diana and Miss Carol Seeley this morning, Lord God, and give them comfort where they need comfort, healing where we need healing. Lord God, have Your way. And Father, we'll remember them now, and we'll thank and praise You for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So in this passage, if I just want to kind of give a disclaimer, so to speak, if it's the passage is I'm not taking it out of context as we read it alone for where it bears or what it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that is lost. That speaks for itself. That's very plain and clear. But in this passage of the around that verse, it was Paul, and they were talking about how the gospel that's given, and it's given out in good measure, and it's given out, but the world, some are just not receiving it. And I'm not here to talk about that this morning. In a sense, we are, but I want to just really focus on that verse, what it says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that is lost. If we're not sharing it, we're not giving it, they're not going to get it. And that's not how we want to operate it as a church. And if we look at the large picture of the church, and I'm just talking about Sharon Baptist Church, we do a lot of good hard work around here, but the church itself, the church today, is missing some things. It really is missing some things. There's a lot of hidden scars, and it's a passive church age. It really is. Look at what's going on. I mean, it's really, there's quite a bit to ponder there. I'm going to get a drink of water right quick. So number one, do we bear the scars for the sake of Christ? Do we bear the scars of the gospel? Do we bear his scars and show his suffering, his sacrifice? It is the church's commission to do that, number one. And we find that it's to share the good news. It is the purpose and work of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer who came to redeem mankind back to himself in his coming and in his death and in his resurrection and his ascension. These things, this is the work of Christ to redeem man back, but that is given to us as his disciples and his church to what? To propagate and to propel that out into the world. That's what we're to do. We do that, we find the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission is all throughout, even in the Old Testament, but it's all through the Bible. We know, and we're kind of familiar with Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things. We know that one. That's the one of the main ones. We know Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's a commission to the church. Romans 10:14. And I love about this verse in Romans 10:14 is this, as it follows up on that great, wonderful passage of Romans Road, or salvation message, verses, but we don't have that without 14. You don't have that. How then shall they call upon him who they have not heard, believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The things in 10, from 10:9 to 10:12 in Romans are hanging on to 14. People need to be told the gospel. It needs to be shared with them. Now look, this preacher is not just Pastor Dave. And it's not just Pastor James. And it's not just Pastor Tim. And it's not the deacon board. And it's not the Sunday school teacher. We are the church. We are the church. And the church is commissioned. Each believer is commissioned by Christ to bear his scars to this world. And to show the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet. And to share the gospel. It's a great undertaking. It's the church's great commission. Do we bear the scars of Christ? We can know by our suffering that we're doing it right. Amen. If the church really, if you look around, the church is not suffering, we might not be doing some things exactly like Christ wants us to do them. I mean, we've got a comfortable place to sit here this morning. Praise the Lord for that. We've got a lot of good things going on. But let's talk about just our country how the church is in relation to it. Look at some of these other countries to see if there's suffering that's going on. But look at us. Are we suffering for Christ's sake? I kind of wonder. Philippians tells us, the book of Philippians in 1:29. Before I go any further, I'm going to have a lot of verses. So if you guys want to write these down, if you want to take notes. And you know how quick I go. So forgive me, please. I'll give you that now. I'll give you that now. But in Paul's letter to the Philippians in 1:29, he says this, "For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but what? But also to suffer for his sake." But to suffer for his sake. It's along with our believing. In 2 Timothy in 3:12, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Notice the key part of that is what? Live godly in Christ. If we're living a good, godly life in Christ, we are going to suffer persecution. Now, it's important that we understand this too, that we are blessed because of it. In Matthew 5:10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In 11 following, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." There's blessings in our suffering, but listen, the church needs to be feeling something. If we're not feeling some rebuttal, then I don't think we're giving it like we need to give it. We need to show them scars. We don't need to give just a pretty picture all the time. Listen, people need to know that there's a hell that they're going to end up in, that people are dying and going to every day. We have to send that message. And it's a tough message, but we need to send it. We need to send it. Now let's look at persecution. And we like to throw that around pretty comfortably here. I'm persecuted for this, I'm persecuted for that. But look around. Persecution, what it means is to flee or be pursued after. It means to be chased down. If you want to put it in our terms today, it's like to be dogged after, be chased down, harassed. And how are we really feeling that? I want to give you an example real quickly, like work where I work. We get forced to work Sundays. Okay, mandatory work, you got to be there, all right? I'm a Christian, all right? So I go knock on, I'll do this. So I go knock on the boss's door. And he opens the door and goes, oh, boss, look, I can't work Sunday. I'm a Christian. He goes, I'm sorry. You're on the sheet. You're going to work. Have a nice night. You know? But look, and then I say, well, he shouldn't do that. But I say this, that's not persecution. I'm sorry. Everybody in that room has to go to work that day. And that's, I'm sorry that's happened that way. What that's called is conditions of employment. That's what that's called. There's a difference. That's what it is. That's what it is. If I don't want to do that, all I got to do is punch out and say, have a nice life, and I'll see you, I'll go somewhere else. But that's just what it is. If you want to find out about persecution, let's go to Sudan to find out about persecution. Let's go to Egypt. Let's go to Afghanistan and Iran. Let's go to Vietnam. Let's go to China. Let's go to now, if I want to give you a couple lists of some things here, every month, and this is according to the World Watch list of extreme Christian persecution in all these outside countries, every month 255 people are killed for being a Christian in this world every month. 104 are abducted. 180 women. Women suffer terribly in these other countries for their Christian faith. They suffer terribly. They're raped, assaulted, and forced into marriages to renounce their faith. 66 church attacks every month. 160 Christians are detained. These are usually pastors or deacons or somebody, some kind of leader in some kind of a church or a home church, are arrested without trial and locked up. 50 countries in the world on the World Watch list. Of those 50 top countries, 33 are Islamic law countries. That's over 75%. That's a go figure there. It really is. And then who do you think is number one? North Korea. And I find that interesting. North Korea is number one in Christian persecution. They absolutely will not tolerate Bibles or anything there. Absolutely. They're 100% religious free. And they're keeping it that way. How important do you think it is right now for our relationship and our dialogue with North Korea? It's important. For that reason alone. Is God trying to work something out there? Let's remember that in prayer. When we have the other dictators in this world, there's a lot of evil men in this world, but there's people there that are suffering persecution. And they're trying to get, and they're probably down there praying like they were in Nineveh, praying for Jonah to come show up and give a message to somebody. They're probably crying out to God, send somebody, do something to get us a way we can open our Bibles in public and share the Word of God with people. And as far as here in this country, it's not like that. We're not suffering like that, but it's coming. There's a day coming. That's going to happen. That's coming our way. Look at our government. Look at the attacks on our Constitution. When we talk about gun control, and I'm not going to get into all these things, but look, it's just the truth. I believe this. They're not after gun control in the First Amendment. They're after the Second Amendment. They're after the religious freedoms of this country. And if they get a hold of that one, they'll get a hold of the next one. That's what this plan is. That's always been the devil's plan, is to shut the church down. That's his plan. That's his plan. So we're looking pretty comfortable here. So do we bear the scars of Christ? Or am I like this table? Do I conceal what's underneath? Do I only exhibit a polished and nice, clean surface? Is that all I'm showing? And I put the scars away? Look, is it like the church? Is it a church like this table? It supports things. Put things on top. It supports things. Shows up for events, cleanup day, chili cook-offs, all the good stuff. But are we showing the scars? Are we showing the scars? It's sturdy. It's solid. Now listen, I've been in this church for years. Been in this church for years. But do I bear the scars of Christ? Am I showing the holes in his hands? Am I showing his scars? There was a lady, and I love this. I say love this. Some things tickle you. A pastor and I, when we went on that big event, we went knocking on doors everywhere, and we knocked on a lady's door, and she came to the door, very nice, and we said, well, listen, we're at the Trampetus Church, and we're inviting people to church, and we said, do you have a church home? She goes, oh, yeah, I've been going to church for years. I've been going to church. It's Methodist. I was going here. My family, my mother went there, and I've been going there for the longest time, and then all of a sudden we start talking for a minute, and then I go, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And she goes, well, wait a minute, I got a duck in the oven I got to take care of right now. I can't talk right now. I got to go. You know, it's like all of a sudden it was just, whew. Now listen, you've been to church for years. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And they're closing the door? That's what I'm talking about here. When you see things like that, look, they've been under the voice of some preaching or gospel of something for so long and don't know Jesus. Just don't know him yet. Look, are we aesthetic? Are we good looking? Are we adorned with works and generous giving? But we hide the scars. We hide the scars. We're dependable, ready to help out. I'll be there. But listen, are we outside of this church showing the scars of Jesus Christ to this world? Have a solid foundation. Now listen, this here. Saved, know Christ, know I'm going to heaven. Know that. But listen, these are all not bad things. Praise the Lord, these are all good things. But do we bear the scars of Jesus Christ? Do I show his suffering? When I come up to talk to somebody, just in passing, in 10 seconds, they should know who I am. It shouldn't take a half hour. It shouldn't take 2 or 3 visits for somebody to find out that you're a Christian. If they were to hold a court hearing and took me and put me before a judge, could they convict me of being a Christian? Ask yourself that. Well, we show good wood here, but am I showing the scars of Christ? Sunday, do we come in and say our amens and then that's it? The rest of the week, we're just on a holiday. Do I reflect a religious surface with no conviction? We need to convict this world of sin. It's not an easy thing to do, but we can prepare ourselves for that. Are we a passive church? Is the church becoming so passive that we don't challenge anybody with the gospel anymore? Challenge them. That's what we need to do. Listen, this message has, I'm telling you right now, don't make no mistake, it has absolutely pierced my heart. It is rooting and turning right here, right now. Let me tell you that. When it comes to visitation time, where are the scars? When it comes to knocking on the door visitation time, where are the scars? Right? When it comes to going across the street and talking to a neighbor and knocking on their door, or going across the street and my other neighbor over here knocking on their door, where are the scars? Where are we at? But if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We've got to give them the gospel. Time is running out, folks. There isn't much of it. Jesus is on his way back. I'm telling you right now, he is. I hope you believe that because he is. I have a quote here I'd like to read. Charles Spurgeon, I love him. I know Brother John loves him. But he's wonderful. But he says here, Charles Spurgeon, we have come to a turning point in the road. If we turn to the right, mayhap our children and our children's children will go that way. But if we turn to the left, generations yet unborn will curse our names for having been unfaithful to God and to his word. I don't want to have that legacy. Sharon Baptist Church don't need to have that legacy. We need to look, take the right road and go out and continue to give the gospel to a lost and dying world. Are we like Paul? Like in Galatians 6:17, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. Are we like those in Romans in 3:14? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Adorn him, put him on. When you put on his robes of his righteousness, you get saved. The scars come with it. The suffering comes with it. When God looks at us, and I hear people say this, that all he's going to see is his son. Well, his son has holes in his hands and in his feet. We need to have that too. We need to bear that. We need to bear that. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If someone didn't come and tell me and my wife about Jesus Christ, listen, not only would I probably not be saved and my wife not be saved, my children wouldn't be saved. And if someone didn't come and knock on your door and tell you about Jesus Christ, your children might not have been saved. Now, let me tell you something. We talked about this a little bit in bus breakfast. I'm a grandpa now. I got these two little ones. They're here today. Praise the Lord. Lane got saved a few weeks ago. Praise the Lord for that. Listen, now we're talking about not just I'm a parent. You know how parents are. You got to be business. You got to be business all the time. But now we're talking about my grandchildren now. All right? They ain't getting away. We're going to make sure we get them here, and we're going to get them under the blood. That's what's going to happen there. It's a little different for some reason it is, but praise the Lord, I love it. I just love it. I had to tell this story this morning. Aubrey was, we were in the truck, Miss Mary, I told her, and we're driving along. I watch her on Fridays, and she's singing in the back. She's going, what's that song? The Bible song. She's going, B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's, I'm going, amen, right? And so I start singing with her. The B-I-B-L-E, she goes, don't sing, Poppy. I'm like, what's up with that? Okay, was it that bad or what? Right, and she goes, starts again, B-I-B-L-E, and I start singing with her. She goes, don't sing, Poppy. All right, I won't sing. And she goes, that's the book for me. Stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Then she goes, Bible. Boy, that's what I'm talking about. Boy, you want to talk about something that blesses your heart. She was at the house, too. I got an old piano. She's banging on the piano. Bah, bah, bah. Jesus loves the little children. Blah, 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 you know. And she calls them. She doesn't call them yellow, red, and black and white. She calls them yellow, pink, and black and white. Wonderful. I had to throw that in there. They're a blessing to us. Well, listen, if somebody didn't tell me, that situation might be not be what it is. They didn't tell you the same thing. Listen, but some witness, some bold witness, somebody with some moxie and some spazazzo came to my door, knocked on my door, and told me about hell and told me about heaven and told me about my sin and told me about a Savior. Praise God. Somebody took the time and took the effort and the boldness to go step in front of my door and tell me about Jesus and about the cross. And listen, when I found out all this, I'm going to share a lot of my testimony today. Listen, when I found out that those scars in his hands should have been my scars, when I found out that his scars in his feet should have been my scars, and the scars in his brow and the beating of his face and the marring and the tearing of his body should have been mine, let me tell you something. I didn't walk to him. I didn't trot over there. I ran to him. And I don't know how anyone, honestly, when you hear that, a loving Savior, Jesus, who does that for you, and how can you neglect so great a salvation? How do we do it? How do you turn that away? I couldn't turn that away. I'm a hard man. I'm a pretty tough guy, Keith. Right? And I heard that, and it broke me down to the lowest common denominator, buddy. I'll tell you that. Praise the Lord. Good he is. Praise the Lord. Listen, somebody doesn't tell me about that, I don't know him. How can you neglect that? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to him that is lost. Paul said to the Galatian church in 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. I'm nailed to the cross with him. That puts holes in your hands. That's what it does. You bear those scars. You show his scars on the bus routes. You show his scars when you go on a visitation. You show his scars when you go to the gas station, when you go to McDonald's, when you go to the dentist, when you go to the doctor's office. You show his scars. You show his scars. I go to show him a helmet where I work. Boy, the conviction, I'm telling you, is tremendous upon me on that. Praise the Lord. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid them that are lost. How do we bear these scars? What do? We prepare. We prepare ourselves. How do we prepare ourselves? By reading the Word of God. How do we prepare ourselves? Through prayer. Insistent prayer. Listen, call on God to give you some boldness and some strength to do something. Listen, I got to call on him. We by the Word of God, by prayer, by instruction. We got a lot of good instruction around here. We got a lot of good preaching around here. Boy, praise God for that. It's by this, and I'll tell you, Brother James, if you can hear this, he'll be going thumbs up. It's by Word of God, by prayer, by instruction, and then it's these three things: practice, practice, practice. You got to get out there and do it. You got to go out there and knock on somebody's door. You got to just step out and go do it. And it takes practice. It takes separation and sanctification. It takes the assembly and the assembly of the saints together to encourage one another. It takes the fellowship, which engenders boldness. It encourages and preach. We get encouraged in preaching and singing. And oh, that song up there in the choir is wonderful. I mean, that encourages me. Listen, tell them, if you can't do anything else, give them your testimony. Tell them what Jesus, what God, what wonderful things that God did for you. I love to tell mine. Boy, and I can tell it right now, it'd take a few minutes. We're going to keep going. But I love to tell my testimony to somebody. Boy, it was miraculous. I'm telling you right now, it's beyond, it wasn't in the church. It was outside the church. But boy, God got a hold of that heart, and he just turned it. Buddy, praise the Lord. But listen, out of all this, be encouraged in all this as a church, that we get to suffer shame for his name. Be encouraged that we get to do something for him because he has done so much for us. In 1 Peter 4:14, it says this: if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. There's happiness in that. Amen. For the Spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. And their part he is evil spoken of. I'm sorry. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Not only is Christ Jesus the victor, he's the victor, but he's also the rewarder of those that suffer in his name. We have the encouragement of the Lord in Matthew 5:12, back to the Beatitudes again. Rejoice, Jesus says, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We have encouragement in church, in the church body, in 1 Corinthians 12:26. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, for one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Praise the Lord, we're not alone. We're not alone. If I suffer for Christ, I got somebody I can help lean on with me. And it goes back and forth. We encourage one another. Daniel Ellis, he loved that verse. I can't remember where it's at in the Bible. Iron sharpens iron. He loved to say that. And it's so true. When we work together, God is amidst of us, and he's going before us getting it done. We have the encouragement of those who have gone on before in Acts, in the book of Acts. I love this passage in chapter 5. where the church, I think it was Peter and some of the disciples were out preaching, and they got them and locked them all up, and the angel came and unlocked the place and said, go down there and give all the words of this life. Go preach. And they went out there and they started preaching, and somehow the word got back to the magistrates and all these other guys. Hey, they're down the street. They're in the temple preaching. And so we'll go get them. So they go down there and they arrest them and they bring them back, and they have a council, and they kind of figure out, what are we going to do with these people? They won't shut up about this. Amen. And so, well, we're going to shut them down. And what they did is they said, they finally figured it out. I think it was Gamaliel. I can't remember the name. He says, look, you got to be careful touching these men. We got to be careful because we might be fighting against God here. And I'm paraphrasing, so please forgive me for not reading the verse. But then it comes down to this. They finally said, what we'll do, we'll beat them and send them on their way and tell them not to preach no more. Beat them. They're going to suffer. And that beating, look, is right. Go look that word up. It's beating. It's scourging. It wasn't a soft thing. Beat them and sent them out. And this is what they said in verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Boy, do we have any of this? Do I have any of that? Boy, I tell you what, I like to have some of that. To suffer for his name and take that and say, boy, hallelujah. Some of us are just me. I'll tell you right now, I might be weeping and crying and carrying on. Right, but praise God, he's there for us. Listen, they went to every house following up on that. Daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They didn't quit. And that's where we are today, because some saints didn't quit. Do we bear the marks of Jesus Christ? Do we bear them in our hands, or is our gospel hid? If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now, I'm going to kind of switch gears here, and we've heard of the scars of Christ concerning the church. And now I'm going to talk about some other scars, the hidden scars of our sin. This table has a secret. It's going to be hard for me to talk about this. It's already choking me up. But when I took that picture, this I haven't looked under this table since. It was a fire at my house when I was a kid. I was 17 years old. And my mother died in that fire. And this table was by the couch. And there were things on it. There was, you know, money on it and change. You can, when you look at that picture, you can see the burn marks where the stuff was there. You can see, and when I took that picture, just take it, and I just looked at it, and I looked at my camera, my heart almost stopped. You know, because it reminded me of what took place that day. It was a terrible day. A terrible day. And I'm not talking about that this morning. What I'm talking about is this. It was the worst part of the day. It was the worst day of my life. After that, let me tell you, I had to write some things down because I didn't want to forget them. I hated everything after that. I was 17 years old. I was already in trouble with stuff, you know, with drinking and carrying on like a teenager does. And then, but now I'm on a road to destruction now. I don't care about nothing. I told myself this. That's the truth. I reminded myself daily, I'll never love anything again. Now, can you imagine that coming out of the mouth of a 17-year-old boy that has, you know, I was on my way to California then. I was a wreck. I was a wreck. And a lot of bad things happened in my life. But listen, I'm going to tell you this about my salvation and getting saved. But the condition I was in, the condition my heart was in, I'm telling you right now, only God Himself alone could have turned me. Nothing else in this world could have. You could have, I'm telling you, I'd be like the maniac of Gadara. Nothing but Jesus Christ to change this man, I'm telling you right now. And I praise the Lord for it. Now, like I said, I come running to that. Because I tried to flip the table, I tried to turn it, I tried to hide the scars, I tried to turn it over. I made a pretty good show, but they're still where? They're still under there. They're still under there. They're still there. Do we display a nice, smooth finish like that table? Let me tell you, God knows what's underneath. He knows what's underneath. He knows what's underneath. The psalmist says in 10:11 about the wicked man, he says, he hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. I'm afraid he does. I'm afraid he does see it. He sees my sin hidden underneath. And that be trying to flip the table and try to turn it out myself, ain't going to change a thing. Never will. And God knows that. Listen, we're sinners by nature. We're sinners by nature. We're not sinners because we have sinned. We sin because we're sinners. We're inherently sinners. We have Adam's burden. That's what we have. We're born into sin. That's what we are. We're sinners by nature. Romans 5:12, it says this, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all sinned. Your history, good or bad, doesn't matter. It does not matter. How good I might have been when I was a kid or how awful I was doesn't matter. The sin is there, and it needs to be fixed. Yep. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Psalms 51:5, and I love this passage of David when he's confessing to God and begging for mercy over his sins. He says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We're born into sin. Romans 3:10, 12 says this, "It is as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." This is not a New Testament principle. This is a Bible principle. That verse is back in the Old Testament somewhere. We're guilty. We're inherently guilty of our sin. The sins and the scars are there, every one of us. You can plead ignorant if you want to. Matthew 12:36 says this, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word. Just think about that. When I have to think about that, I shrink. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Luke 12:2, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hid that shall not be made known." Isn't that enough? Have you heard enough, honestly? Have I heard enough to say that, listen, am I going to breeze through this thing any further? Absolutely not. God knows what's going on. You teenagers hearing this? All right, adults, I'm talking to adults too, but hey, you guys need to hear this. You need to hear this. God knows what's underneath. He knows what's hidden. He knows. What's the remedy? The remedy is this. Repent of your sins. And that's the only way you're going to fix this thing, and the only one that's able to do it is Jesus Christ. He has stated in John 14:6, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." I could read for another 2 or 3 hours on why it's him, but that verse right there, I have to tell you, it's only by Christ. Only he can do it. It's just as Jeremiah writes in 3, I love this, in 3:13 in Jeremiah, he starts off with this to the nation of Israel, "Only acknowledge thine iniquity." Only acknowledge thine iniquity. In other words, just fess up. Just fess up. You're a sinner. That's what you are. From the floor to the right up here. That's what you are. That's what we are. You can't hide it anymore. God knows. And Romans 10:9 is this, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead," what? "Thou shalt be saved." Boy, is there any greater comfort and promise in that? To know, when you read through Romans and you come to that verse and you hear that, man, I tell you what, you get excited when you see that. Amen. I have a Savior, and I have a way of getting the stuff that's mine fixed. And God just don't flip the table, man. He just makes everything brand new, doesn't he? He makes it all brand new. I'm going to close with this passage, and again, it goes back to Psalms 51, and these are the first four verses of that psalm. And I'm hoping that if you don't know Jesus this morning, if you're here and you're without Christ, that this you got to read this. And usually folks that aren't saved really don't usually read the Bible much. They don't, you know, they're not a student of the Bible so much. But I want you to hear this in Psalms 51, 1 through 4. David speaking says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity." From mine iniquity. "And cleanse me from" what? "My sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions." Don't try to lay it on nobody else. Don't try to blame your parents. Boy, I hate that if somebody comes up and preaches about blaming their parents for their ills. Right? We make decisions. We make decisions. Right? My parents weren't perfect people, but they fought through it, and they're under the attack of the same devil that me and you are. But they fed me and they took care of me. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee," and listen, the statement is emphatic, "against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Boy, I tell you what, God is good to us. He's good to us too. See, listen, I want you to know this morning that, listen, for the church, how desperately the church needs to show the scars. How desperately we need to go out and show the scars of our Savior to this lost and dying world. It needs it. And then secondly, listen, we have scars of our own. And some of these scars are the sins that we have that we've addressed them, and some we haven't. But it's just as simple as this. You could take all that and just knock it off the table. You're inherently sinful. That's what we are. We're sinners by nature. And the only thing that's going to fix it is Jesus Christ and receiving Him as Savior and the confessions of those sins. So the question again is this. Do we bear the scars? Let's pray. Father, how much we love and thank you for your love. How much we thank you, Father, for your grace. How much we thank you for Jesus this morning. Lord God, I'm so thankful, Father, for all that we'd be able to say this morning, these verses and these wonderful passages. But Lord God, let it sink deep into our hearts. Lord, you've pierced my heart with this. And Father, I pray for boldness. I pray for instruction, Lord God. And I pray, Father, for, Lord, I want to pray for opportunities because you give us opportunities. We don't take two steps out of this church, we got opportunities. So Father, help us be a church that honors you, a church that honors our Savior, shows the scars of our sins, shows the scars of our Father, of your Son, as we go out into this world and teach others and show others what it means to be saved and all that you did for us. Father, I just want to praise and thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. With our heads bowed, and we begin to play, I'd like us just to think of a few things here. But to the church, that we show the scars of a Savior that we serve, and to that one that's without Christ, receive Jesus, the one that's the scars that can forever erase the scars of our sin and my sin. And I want you to know this morning that if you are without Christ, then you're on your way to it. Listen, a literal heaven is there. It doesn't matter what the table looks like. It doesn't matter how beautiful it is, how polished it appears. The scars of sin are underneath and they're there. They're affixed to it, and you own it. We own it. You're not going to flip the table on God, friend. I'm just not going to do it. We need to come before Him in repentance, confessing our sins, and asking Jesus to save us. He's gone to the cross. He's borne my sins. He's done all the hard work. He's done all these things. He loves us, and He's loved a backward and sinful race that has rejected Him. But He still went on to die for us. And on the third day, He gloriously rose again unto eternal life. An eternal life that's ours if we receive Him as Savior. But listen, just trust Him. Trust Him as Lord. Believe in these things. And ask Jesus to save you, and He will. He says this in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no way cast out.